Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas to you. You're going to hear that a few times for the next couple of weeks, right? And I think it's a good thing to be saying Merry Christmas. I remember saying Merry Christmas to somebody in July one time. They kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? And so having said that, why don't we stand up and greet a few people and say Merry Christmas to one another. Christmas, Mark. Good, good. Merry Christmas. Hey, Brandon. Merry Christmas. Good to see you the other day at the event. You enjoyed it? Yeah. It was good. So, as you know, we've got our regular service next week, and then a Christmas Eve service coming, so we want to encourage you to invite people to the service, neighbors or friends that are far from Christ, and just an opportunity to gather. We're having a candlelight service, and yeah, I just think it's a great time to be inviting people to church, because I think it feels like, in my experience as a Christ follower, this time of year, there seems to be more of an openness for people to attend church, and typically, we know people that will attend, you know, church twice a year. Easter and Christmas. And perhaps as you invite and pray that the Lord would work in their hearts and they'd make a decision to fully understand who Christ is and they can have a relationship with him. So having said that as well, next week is communion. So I encourage you to just prepare your hearts for communion during the week as we come to the table. I think it's just an important thing to do. And I love because, you know, communion and Christmas, they're together. They're not separated, and so we'll be talking about that next week as well, and we'll dive into the following couple of weeks as we enter Christmas, then 2023, mercy. Crazy to think that, right? I was born in 1970, so you do the math on that. I'm not even about my age, but the number, you know? So as we enter 2023, we're going to go through Psalm 46 first couple of weeks of that, and then we'll dive into a new series. So I just want to give you kind of what's ahead. So again, thank you for being here. And as we think about Christmas and this time of year, we often talk about peace on earth and how we should celebrate that in our lives and how it's part of Christmas and it's a part of the scriptures that talk about peace on earth. But many of us in this world we live in, including some, maybe some folks here this morning, for those watching online as well, don't always have peace. We have a struggle with peace. There's a disconnect with peace. And yet Jesus brought peace for all mankind. But sometimes we miss it. We miss it, especially at this time of the year. You know, scripture talks about peace on earth. And yet there is not peace in our own hearts and the way we live and the things we're struggling through and the things that are important to us as well. And what's interesting about the Christmas story, and you probably have heard this before, I preached on this a couple of years ago, alluding to the shepherds and how the message of hope came to them. The most unlikely of people to hear the gospel, to receive the news of the birth of Christ coming. And it's good because God speaks to all people of all kinds, of all walks of life. And I talked about that last week with John the Baptist, you know, the man who lived in the desert and ate honey and locust. And he stood out because he didn't look the part necessarily, yet God used him to be the forerunner for Jesus and how he prepared the way. And Advent, that's what Advent is. It's a time of preparation for us. And it's a good thing. However, I think over the time in our lifetime, depending on how far along you are in your life, but not just that, but what does Christmas mean to you? And there sometimes can become the staleness to Christmas, if we're honest, in the world we live in. It comes every year and it comes by, and sometimes we don't always ready for it or really even look forward to it. You know, I'm not fully understanding it always, but I can understand it as well. Sometimes it can lose its appeal. It's like eggnog sometimes. I don't like eggnog at all. And eventually eggnog loses its appeal. And I have a friend of mine who freezes eggnog before Christmas is over and puts it in his freezer so he can have eggnog during the year. I'm not sure why we're friends, but that's another story. You know, Christmas is chaotic for us. It can be busy, and I've talked about this as well, that we can be focusing on so many other things besides Jesus. you know, our family and our friends, and all those things are good, and purchasing gifts and all those sort of things as well. And often at times we can have conflict in our heart, and we can have conflict with other people. Perhaps we're having a meal at our home and there's an empty seat there because someone's missing. Perhaps you lost a loved one years ago or recently, and you reflect on the loss of them not being there. And for others, maybe a lack of friendship. There's a sense of loneliness. And Christmas can be a time where people feel often lonely. As a matter of fact, many surveys have talked about this. I've talked to people many times about how this time of year can be very depressing for a lot of people. It is not the easiest of things for many. Many will spend Christmas Eve or Christmas morning by themselves, not celebrating with anyone, perhaps by themselves. But one thing I've learned over the years, as difficult as the time it is, as challenging as this time can be, that we should try to live in the harmony and the peace that comes in Christ. But I understand that's not fully attainable for all of us. You know, some of us are going through financial hardships. Maybe we've disconnected with family that has not spoken to us for many, many years, and we're struggling with that. And this time of year can, again, bring depression. I was talking to somebody recently who has completely lost all relationship with his family, mom, dad, sisters, and brothers. And his heart is just broken because the relationship is broken. And this time of year is very difficult. And we're talking about, would you go see your family at this time of year just to kind of see if there can be some reconciliation? And he said, no, wouldn't feel welcomed. It would just be too awkward. My heart broke. And I've been there as well. In my family growing up, we didn't celebrate Christmas. However, I remember there's always a tagline in my family. And my parents would allude to Christmas, and they'd always say, trouble's coming. I'm like, what does that even mean? And it seemed like every year in our family around Christmas, some sort of disaster took place. Whether we lost a loved one or there was an accident or financial worry. And it seemed to be the rhythm. And that was the expectation my parents had. And yet when we talk about peace and we talk about this disconnect we can have, we look at Scripture and we can see that there is peace. There's peace in Christ. Even in the midst of our circumstances, even in the midst of our pain, we can have peace. And we see the Scripture here this morning. It says this: suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heavens and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So picture this. The shepherds are watching their flock by night. They're doing their job, and they're kind of watching what's happening. And then suddenly, because Scripture tells us that, suddenly, there was no crescendo, it didn't lead into it. It was just suddenly out of nowhere, these angels appear. This light broke the darkness, and I would love to have been there. And I wonder how the animals reacted when all these angels showed up after. An angel came to express what was going to happen. And the shepherds were gathering, and you know, they're at this little probably campfire to keep them warm. And this light comes out of nowhere. And that campfire light has diminished itself because it doesn't compare to the glory of what these angels are telling them. And these angels put on a bit of a show, don't they? It's almost like a firework display. It's amazing what's actually going on. And God showed up in the middle of the darkness and broke in with his glorious light. It's amazing when you think about that. I want you to picture for a moment the darkest time in your life, not emotionally or spiritually, but just physically being somewhere, whether it's on a trail or camping or in the middle of the woods. Think about it. Picture it. Picture how dark it was. And maybe you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And you're worried about maybe an animal coming out of the bush. And you're feeling a little terrified. And you're walking, just kind of feeling your way around the nighttime. I think we've all been there in some scenario. So as you think about that, and then all of a sudden, as you're walking, this huge light appears. How would you react? Because we all have lights. We have lights in our homes. We have lights in this church. We have lights in our community when people put their Christmas lights up, and we can see light. And light speaks into darkness. We have a Christmas tree that is covered with lights as well. And it's a good thing. These lights are comforting. There's something about that. When you're, as a child in your dark room, that night light that you had brought some hope, didn't it? Thought we're going to be okay. That little glimmer of light, maybe as bright as this candle in front of us. And yet it brought us some sense of peace. And then we see this light. It's beautiful and comforting that this powerful light is a metaphor for Christ and for us as we think about that. And the smallest light can dispel so much darkness, can't it? Like when you go camping, if you've ever done that, or you've been in the woods and you've got a flashlight with you, and from the glow of that flashlight, it lights up enough in front of you that you feel a little bit at ease. And that's a good thing. Recently, we went to the PBR, which is the championships for cowboys and rodeo riders. And I don't even know. I'm not even a cowboy. And we went. It was in Edmonton. My family and I went. And it's a long show. It's good. It's entertaining. But to be quite honest with you, it was about 3 hours. But the whole show could have been done in 15 minutes. Like, let's be honest. It's 8 seconds to ride a bull, if you're that good. But they have all the filler in between. And, you know, the person gets the crowd going. And I was just like, mercy, can we wrap this up already? Anyways, they're going on. And at one point of the show, the lights were dimmed. And this entertainer asked all of us to take out our cell phones and turn on the flashlight. And all of a sudden, the place is lit up. It was amazing. You've probably seen that on TV. Perhaps you've done that yourself. And that was the highlight for me because it was just amazing to watch the illumination of just the light. And it brought in such peace in that moment. And it's pretty neat to see. And that's what Christ does in our lives. That's what happens when we're facing darkness in our life. Christ is the light. He is the light of the world. And his birth reminds us of that. Now, I'm not sure, again, what you're going through today. I'm not sure what's happening in your life. I'm not sure what struggles you're facing with your family or friends. Perhaps your spiritual life. Perhaps a broken relationship. But we understand this. In your loneliness, in your struggle, we can see that God speaks and God can bring light. And I alluded to it earlier, God speaks and shares the gospel and the hope of the story to the most different type of people in our society. You know, the shepherds, again, they were not recognized as being part of society. As a matter of fact, they were outcast. They didn't have friends. The only people they would connect with was their workers, their co-workers, or their families. And even most of their families would send them off because they weren't fitting into society. They were stuck with the night shift all of the time. Like, think about that for a second. For those who work shift work, imagine being on night shift all the time, and that's what they had. They existed in the lowest of lows in society. In the pecking order, they were on the bottom. And I wonder often, as they felt perhaps lonely and directionless and stressed out, and did they feel peace in their life? And can you relate to that as well? Because when Isaiah prophesied about what was going to happen and this Prince of Peace that was going to come out of Isaiah 9, verse 6, the Prince of Peace. And these shepherds were there, and it was announced that the birth of the Savior was coming. And peace had come and was coming in the form of Christ. And it filled that area. And what's amazing about this, and I talked about this last week as well, where, you know, John the Baptist was a forerunner for the gospel, for Jesus. And God could use whatever means he wanted to bring the hope of the world. Could he use concerts and different things, but he didn't. He used things that we possibly wouldn't use. If we were doing a marketing drive back in those days, I don't think we'd be doing what Scripture is doing. Not sure if we'd get much of a response. And yet God does that. You know, it wasn't religious leaders. There weren't political powerhouses. There weren't social media influencers, Obviously, there's no social media back in the day. But you know what I'm getting at. The angels came and announced the birth of Christ and what was going to happen to a bunch of working people in the middle of the night. And the shepherds were the most unlikely people. If you were to ask people in that time, if God came to give a message, do you think he'd choose the shepherds? The answer would most likely be no. Probably people would laugh that off. And so picture it again, the angels are singing about peace that was coming, and these men were facing the very own struggle of their own life, being in a stressful job and doing what they're doing. And their job was to protect the sheep from predators, from the lions and the bears and the wolves. That was their job. They sacrificed their life every day. Can you imagine the pressure of that in the moment when there's a sheep there that you have to take care of, part of your livelihood, or perhaps somebody hired you to do it, and here comes the animal, and you are between that sheep and the animal, and the shepherd here has to sacrifice their life. How would they feel in that moment? You know, like, it's when you think about it like that, but that was their job, and that's what they did. And I'm sure they were stressed out. And yet the angels come, and they talk about peace. A peace that's coming for all mankind. And that peace is alive and well for us today. It is still available for us today. And let's recognize this. The shepherds were unceremonially, they were not clean. They were dirty. They were just not clean. And that means they worked with dead animals oftentimes in their job because the animal would die and they would be moving that animal and they were then considered unclean because that's what the law stated. So not only are these individuals outcasts, in many ways they're untouchable. They couldn't go to the market. Most of them were not married or couldn't have any families. And they felt the pain of that every single day. And I want us to understand that a little bit because I think sometimes when we think about the Christmas story, we think it's all roses and flowers. And we think it's perfect when it's just not. There's so many things that have happened in Scripture when you talk about the Christmas story that we have to use our imagination a little bit. But when I think about that, and I think about what these folks have gone through in their lives before the announcement and what they faced, they are just as human as you and I are today. I think sometimes we can miss that in Scripture. We can miss these people, that they're human. They've gone through the same emotion as we have. And that's why these stories in the Bible, whether it's a Christmas story or something in the Old Testament or something in the New Testament, are so relatable. Because many of the folks in the Bible were flawed and broken. And the only one that was perfect was Jesus. And that gives us hope. Because Christ is perfect. And we're not. And that should give us hope. Give us peace to know that we have been saved by God. And I hope you are saved today by God. That you give your heart to Jesus. That you know the gospel. That you know what it means to follow Jesus. Now, as we talk about these shepherds and the job they had and the things they had to do, maybe you can relate to some of the struggles of their life. Maybe some of you feel that way today. And some of the things they felt, being an outcast, not being included, perhaps being labeled in some sort of way that perhaps is not even true, and that you face that as well. You spend most of your time alone. Maybe not alone physically, but in your heart of hearts, you're feeling lonely. You're feeling disconnected. And this pain that we have can often morph into different things. It can be tragic for us. And as we think about that, as we think about our pain and our struggle and the day-to-day life that we live, for many of us, this time of year is difficult. And as I mentioned, I talk about the shepherds, and they were outcasts. And kids weren't striving in those days. Little kids weren't striving to grow up one day necessarily to be a shepherd because of the stigma of the position. And they knew that. The shepherds knew that. Just living with that day-to-day. There's something to be said about that. Something to be said about that. So as these men and face the pressure and the pain and everything going on, this army of angels again shows up, and we know that God again uses a different people to bring his message forward. So what does this mean for us? You know, what does that mean for us today? And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that when we think about the Prince of Peace, is he the Prince of Peace in your life? The Prince of Peace. Not the Prince of Doubt. Not the Prince of Struggle in terms of giving up and walking away. But the Prince of Peace. And I can't give you peace. Your spouse can't give you peace. You can have some peace and momentary moments with our fellow human beings and relationships. But at the end of the day, the only way we can find peace is through Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean your life is going to be amazingly perfect. It doesn't mean everything is going to fall into place every single day of your life, because I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. But what it does mean in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our disasters in our life that we see, the Prince of Peace shows up. He absolutely shows up. Now, you might be saying as well in your own heart, well, I haven't sensed the Prince of Peace for a long time in my life. I feel like a shepherd. And I, to be clear with you, in your struggle today and whatever you're going through, for those watching online as well, whatever journey you're on, your pain is real. And I don't have a crystal ball. And if I did, I wouldn't believe it anyway. I don't know when your pain may end. I don't know when your suffering will stop. But what I can do is encourage you to keep your eyes on the Prince of Peace. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we should be doing. So as these shepherds were doing what they're doing, in their job, they probably saw these sheep, these lambs taken to the temple as well for sacrifices. And they witnessed that. And yet, when we think about the Prince of Peace, he went from the stable to the cross. And he's the ultimate sacrifice. There's no more need for a sacrificial lamb because Christ was that for us. And that's how we receive peace from Christ. That he is the perfect and the ultimate sacrifice for us. And because of that, we can have peace. We can enter into peace. We can accept God's peace. Because at the end of the day, all things being equal, we've been reconciled to God because of Jesus. That alone should bring us peace. We are no longer under the wrath of God, and the scripture tells us this in Colossians 1. Let me read that to you. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things are created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile him to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you're alienated from God and were enemies in the minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. Did you capture that? Once you were alienated from God. That's us. That's us. And we were enemies. in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. We are holy in his sight because of Jesus. That gives us peace. Without blemish and free, like free, no holds barred, nothing attached from accusation. Love that. That should make our hearts jump with joy to know that we can stand for God our Father because of Jesus. And we are free from accusation. The accusation of the enemy of our soul, the accusation of people on this earth, the accusation of our own hearts and the things we tell each other and ourselves. We are free from all those things. Do you know that today? Do you live that today? It doesn't mean life will be perfect. It doesn't mean there's times you're stressed out or things bother us. But when you separate that and move that out of the picture for a moment, we can understand fully that we are without blemish and free. We are free from accusation. Amen? Brothers and sisters, I hope you know that. When you've been accused in your life, whether it's a family member, a parent, a friend, how does it make us feel? I think it makes us feel pretty terrible. I've been accused of things I've never done for my family. I've been accused as a Christ follower. How does it make you feel? Not great. But we know that Jesus stands with us. That he stands with us. And his death and his resurrection and the announcement of the angels, that all is tied in together because we've been reconciled. And we live in that peace today. See, his resurrection and his death on the cross, his birth, let's all together, let's not separate these things by events because they all tie in together, just like the Bible does, from Genesis to Revelation. It all tells a story, the most powerful story ever told and the most powerful story ever will be told. And Hollywood can't capture it, even though they might try. They can't capture it. So do you know Christ? We can have a perfect union with Jesus, and Jesus can bring us peace. Jesus can bring us peace in the chaos of Christmas, because for many it is chaotic. Jesus can bring us peace in our broken heart, with our families, despite our pain and the pressure that we might feel in every day of our lives. And especially at this time of year. Do you know the peace of Christ? Not just today, not just in the service we've had, but do you know the peace of Christ in your day-to-day life? Do you? Do you lean into Jesus? Do you look to Christ? Do you look for peace in him and not of the things of this world? Because I think oftentimes we fill ourselves with things of this world rather than the hope of peace in Christ. And I think it's especially true in this time of year for us as Christians, as Christ followers, that we celebrate the peace and the joy and the hope of Christ like we've never had before. And we should. And I hope you're going to do that. I hope this year doesn't just pass by like, here we go again. As I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I challenge every single one of us. If you weren't here, I'll repeat it very quickly. Take some time this holiday season with your family. Go to a forest. Go to a setting that will just bring you a sense of peace. Bring out your Bible. Read the Christmas story. Whether it's around a campfire, whether it's going for a walk, away from all the noise, and take a moment to reflect, this is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why he's the reason for the season. then everything else that we enter into, like I've mentioned, family and friends, busyness and activity, those things are not bad. However, I will say this. If that is your attention during the Christmas holidays and this time of year, I'm going to say it, your priorities are out of whack. The order is wrong. Let me be clear. Our first focus should be the birth of our Savior. And everything else is a bonus. It's like gravy. It's a bonus. But it shouldn't be our focal point. Jesus should be our focal point. Then the mess of everything else that's here, with family and friends that might have some issues or some damage, because we focus on Jesus and made him the priority, this other stuff will be much more manageable. I know that because I can speak from experience. So are we going to do that this year? Maybe this is the first time you've ever even experienced or tried this in your many years of life. Give it a shot. It's okay to start. And maybe this is a new tradition that you add into your life and your family. And then others in your life will capture what you're doing. And we all point in the same direction and say, yeah, Jesus. And everything else, again, is good. But it's not the story of Christmas. I was talking to somebody recently, just a couple days ago, about Christmas. I said, what are you excited about in Christmas? And this person is a Christ follower, and they went on to explain what they're excited about. In our whole conversation, and I asked this as well, I simply said, I'm just curious, just wondering, and we're having a really good conversation about this. You shared a bunch of stuff, really good things, activity and plans and meals. I was like, I want to come. Can I come to your house? But in the midst of all of that, where does Jesus fit in? And I was sincerely asking. I was just curious. And then we had a really good conversation about that. It was not condemning. It was nothing. It was just a great conversation. And I'm going to ask you the same question. And I'm asking myself the same question. Where does Jesus fit into the narrative of our lives? Is he the focal point of our hearts? Let's pray. Father, I thank you how you use the most unexpected type of people to bring your message forward. From people in the Bible, to people that are alive and well today. I thank you for that. It should tell us about what you look at. You look at the hearts. And I pray it also encourages us that, God, you can use us to make a difference in this world, and I pray we would. I thank you, Lord, that we are without blemish. We are free from accusation. Because of Christ, because of your physical body that was broken for us. I thank you that we cannot save ourselves, that in our imperfection, your grace and your mercy is so evident. I thank you for that. So, Lord, I pray for each one. I pray for those watching online. I pray for those who will watch later, that each one of us would make you the priority, not just at Christmas, but for our life. It doesn't mean there's going to be days where we don't do that well, but what it does mean that we have put you first in our lives. Jesus, thank you for your birth. I thank you for the light that came over that field when the shepherds were there and what that must have been like. And I pray, Lord, perhaps this week you would suddenly surprise us. And you would do something incredible in and through us. And we would be humbled by that, that you use us to further your kingdom. And for those who have come today that, and for those watching online that are in a tough place with family and friends or are feeling lonely, are feeling like they can relate to the life of a shepherd. Father, I pray for hope. I pray for healing. I pray for strength. I pray for joy. I pray for peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. In the strong name of Jesus.